Thank you, Keith. Now I can hear. Good morning. So good to see you all. My name is Philip Durr. One correction is that I finished missional leadership at Fuller. Pretty close, but it's a bit different. But anyway, I'm so glad to see you all here. And I'm so excited to see the Christmas decorations already up. And we're all looking forward to this happy celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Lord, you care about us. You know the earth has been under a pandemic for a year now, or more than that. How much longer must we wait before we can freely move around and travel? Lord, what is it that you want us to learn from this pandemic? May we look up to you and soar on wings like eagle to follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First of all, I'd like to thank the worship team for a wonderful worship that we have to praise the Lord. I'm so pleased to see all of you here. I know many of you feel so comfortable at home. I strongly encourage you to come back. The worship team is so cool. And as well as the renovation that you all done, I came March 2020 to preach here in the Chinese congregation. The beginning of pandemic that nobody was here except a few those who are volunteering, helping for live streaming. But strongly encourage you to come back. It's so cool to worship here. Do you still remember about a year ago, we were overjoyed to learn that there were vaccines available for COVID-19. We knew that this is the beginning of the end of the pandemic. I still remember watching Dr. Teresa Tam on TV. She was moved to tears when she saw the first jab of vaccination in Canada. It has been a very difficult year, and there's hope now, and that is the end of is near. It has not been easy for Dr. Tam, and she's working hard to Canada. Let me see, is that here? Oh, okay, I don't see that on the back, okay. She's working hard for Canadian health for the public, and unfortunately the public was not kind to her. There were slander and rumors against her, but fortunately, she sets a good role model to us all to work diligently in Canada. We respect her for her hard work. As the effectiveness of the mRNA vaccine decreases over time, we should be grateful that the government of Canada now even offers a third dose who are over 18 and had the last dose more than 6 months ago. Many healthcare workers in the world still have not had their first vaccine, and now we can receive our third dose. Sometimes I have a mixed feeling. You know, how privileged we are living in Canada. We find that the COVID-19 has outsmarted many scientists. Scientists have spent much time and effort in analyzing the virus, but it has since mutated just when vaccines were developed. In addition to the UK variant, we now learn Brazil variant and South African variant. It is no surprise that viruses adapt and mutate to survive under different new environments. I believe there may be other new variants coming. In addition to different types, these variants, as you all know, that they are more easier to spread and people are sicker than before. There's no way we can compete with a virus, and it's not going to be an easy battle, even with vaccines. Do you know when was the last worldwide pandemic? SARS? It's not quite worldwide yet. Thank you, Spanish flu, that's it. Spanish flu hit about 100 years ago. In fact, my daughter studying history told me that. It was in the battlefield of World War I when soldiers in the trenches fell ill, one by one, after contracting the virus, the flu virus. Then the virus spread to everyone, and when they go home, when they went home, the soldiers went home, they brought the viruses home to everywhere in the world. Some reports that saying 30 million people died as a result, while other reports claim that the number should be as high as 100 million. There were no vaccines for that flu. The only means available at that time to fight the flu was social distancing, mask wearing, and frequent hand washing. The virus eventually disappeared after 3 years. It was the same as some of you mentioned about SARS 2003. Also, there was no vaccines for SARS. And SARS disappeared with timely quarantine and self-discipline. The main point here is that we must wait patiently for the pandemic to be over. When we feel that we cannot wait any longer, we shall turn our eyes to God. Before you know it, the pandemic is over. And when we can gather again to sing praises like today, it will be wonderful. Now, 2600 years ago, Judah was destroyed by Babylon. The country had fallen into enemy hands. The temple destroyed, the population was scattered and decimated. This was a time when the prophet Isaiah wrote today's chapter, chapter 40. Isaiah used a poetic format in writing chapter 40. He asked, how could the people of Judah compare God to man-made idols? What is crafted by humans simply cannot be compared with God. God and idols are not parallel, and they cannot be spoken as the same. There's simply no comparison. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretched out the heavens like a canopy and spread them out like a tent to live in. God is mighty and great. When God looks down from heaven, we are just like grasshoppers. Even kings who rule over a few million people will appear insignificant in God's eyes. They are all nothing, basically, in the eyes of God. Isaiah described insignificance of human. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither and whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Prophet Isaiah asked the people to look towards the sky to see who created the galaxy. Lift up your eyes. Look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God wants us to look up and see. There are many stars in the sky, and yet God knows the name of each one. He knows the character, the size, the running time, and temperature of each star. And then he asked the people of Israel, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Isaiah heard people's complaints. He heard their sorrow. God created the universe and even named all the lifeless stars. Since we are created in the image of God, we are God's chosen people and children. There's no way God does not hear our prayers. There's no way God will ignore our struggles. Even the most energetic youth will become tired and weary. Even the strongest youth will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. What is hope in the Lord? Some English Bible versions use wait in the Lord. Both hope or wait in the Lord, meaning now is not the time, yet there is a future. Wait also means that we're not prepared yet. It is us who are not ready yet, even though there is something great coming. If we were only thinking about A, and we don't listen to anything else besides A, that means that we're not ready to know about B, to change or to make new attempts. We're not ready to admit our own weaknesses. We insist on solving our problems on our own ways. When we do not seek God's help to open a way for us, then we shall continue to wait. The people of Judah ignore the warning from their prophets, and they continue to worship idol and defile the rule of God. As a result, their kingdom was destroyed, their land was occupied, and they were enslaved to Babylon. Therefore, they must wait. Sometimes you may think, we are all well prepared, and you are ready to do anything for God, whatever He wants. But the timing may not be right, because other parts are not done yet. Other people are not prepared yet. The Bible encourages us that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You see, the hope of the Lord is not without purpose. The time you hope in the Lord is not wasted. What will happen to those who wait for the Lord? They will find their strength renewed. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young people stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will find their strength renewed. I found this time when I come back after a year and a half, I impressed your church during the lockdown, took the time and renovated the place. This is very well done. And when you come back, you found renewed. When you come back to worship, you found renewed. So those who are waiting for the Lord will be like batteries getting a recharge. Those of you using electric razor will know this well. When power is running low, right? And the motor going slower and slower and dying down and stopping intermittently, and it may even stop in the middle of shaving, and it may cut your hair and it got really painful. However, after charging it for an hour or so, the razor will be running again. You can move around again, right? It's fully charged and you'll find the strength renewed. The time taken for razor to be fully charged is a time of waiting. Waiting to be equipped, waiting to get us ready. Isaiah reminded us that for those who wait, who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. Renew their strength is like after a good night's sleep. You get fresh ideas and able to solve the problems that bothered you the night before. I learned from a young people, reminded me that a good night's sleep actually is allowing the brain rearrange the data that we receive earlier, or we read or we process, that we can rearrange it so that when we wake up, we have a new understanding and we'll be able to solve many problems. No wonder smart people, I find, always sleep early and rise up early. That's what it means by strength renewed. Too bad I didn't learn that when I was young and wasted a lot of time in my study, because I worked until 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or even 3. And otherwise, I should be smarter than now. When we wait for the Lord, we can have strength renewed. And what happened next? The Bible tells us they will soar on wings like eagle. I believe most of us have seen eagles in North America. Eagles fly differently than most birds. Most birds, like sparrows or pigeons, they fly by flapping their wings up and down. Eagles, they just spread out their wings and they glide. The gliding depends on wind and air pressure. Eagle lives high up in trees and, you know, they just catch the wind and they glide. Engineers learn from eagles when they design airplane wings. Eagles rely on wind to soar up to the sky. Poets in Palestine have seen how eagles glide. When wind starts, eagles will go with the wind. To travel far, eagles must fly at a high altitude to have a wider view from above, and they must expand their wings and soar up the sky. There was a pastor in the US who loves gliding, and he told that one time he's in his glider airplane at about 10,000 feet above ground. He saw some black things far away in the distance, and he was wondering, what's going on there? Is that the balloons from the weather network or something? What's that? So he drove the plane and go toward that direction. He couldn't believe what he saw. It was a flock of wings, a flock of eagles with wings wide spanned, with 2 meters, gliding in the sky in the wind. The pastor also saw that these eagles have their eyes closed, seeming like sleeping in the sky. And that was quite unbelievable. Eagles sleeping 10,000 feet above ground in the air. The pastor also learned to close his eyes, see what happened. So he closed his eyes and, oh, it's just so cool and enjoying that wind. And it was just so comfortable, so relaxed. He felt his strength really renewed. And that was so uplifting. It's probably much better than taking the chicken essence beverage, right? At that moment, the pastor finally understood what Isaiah meant when he wrote, "They will soar on wings like eagles." Eagles can naturally sense the wind direction. What does the wind symbolize in the Bible, remember? What does the wind symbolize? Holy Spirit, thank you. Yes, it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. We never know where the wind comes from and goes to. God's Spirit is like the wind. We want to soar on wings like eagles, not to catch wind, but to soar in the wind. Go where the wind takes us. We go where the Holy Spirit takes us to work for the Lord and to live in a beautiful life. The Bible continues to say, they will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When we are in the Lord, we could soar on wings like eagles, and we are in peace. We feel secured, our spirit rested, and our soul is awakened. How can we run and not grow weary? Everyone gets tired, no matter how good we are. How can we not get tired? Here, I don't mean the exhaustion of our physical body, but rather the weariness of our hearts. There are people who go to work every day and hope to get an early retirement. And best if they can retire before age 55, right? Because their heart is tired. They don't want to rush around anymore. They don't want to carry any major responsibilities anymore. They have enough pension, so might as well retire and do something that they really like to do. But those who hope in the Lord, they soar on wings like eagles. They run and will not get wearied. They will run and will not be faint. This is because when we hope in the Lord for His will, when we go by His plan, that is a time we show off our God's given talents and abilities. That is a time you bring out the potential God has given to you. And that is a time you expand your wings to fly. So run and not grow weary, and walk, not be faint. That is because the more you work, the happier you are and more uplifting you are. When you are tired from serving or feeling with some resentment, you need to take a break. Ask yourself, why? Why am I so unhappy when I serve in this position? Is it because no one appreciates me? Do we serve because of God or because of pleasing others? Do you feel being misunderstood or criticized? Know that those who criticize our work may not know how to express themselves properly. Their intention is good. They really care about your ministry. When we think that way, then we will turn around and thank those who give advices to us, because it takes them courage to tell us what's on their mind. Their reminders are for us to improve, not because they do not appreciate what we do. We can turn negative statements into a constructive tips. Serving in ministry, yes, can be very busy. But if you find fulfillment in what you are doing, if you are excited about what you are doing, would you want to stop? No, of course not. You wouldn't want to stop because your serving is meaningful. And you help people, or you help others to change their lives. When we can witness the healing of God, when we see the power of God who makes something out of nothing, you will be filled with thanksgiving. Your heart will be filled with praises for the Lord. Then you will not be weary nor tired. When we hope in the Lord's will, when we wait for His wonderful plans, we will see His mighty work. We want to soar on wings like eagles, to look up to God. When we walk on the path set out by God, God Himself will lead us. I still remember every time when I heard new believer make their first prayer. I just praise God. Even though they may mumble and they don't know what to say, but I just feel that God is smiling. So rewarding to hear the first prayer. And I find that it is my honor to hear that. To hear their first prayer, just like babies calling daddy and mommy. It's just so rewarding. And I also have a chance to speak to our church auditor. She shared with me that the mighty power of God in building of her church in Brampton 30 years ago. She shared that they brought an acres of land. Can you believe it? 70,000. 70,000 for acres of land? And they need to build, to raise the money for the building, and it costs 200,000. And then they borrow another 500,000 to build the whole church. And they were able to repay all the mortgages in 10 years. And then later they have a church expansion. And I also share that when I was in Mississauga, where I met Pastor Simon Sid, that I built with my congregation to build St. Elizabeth's Anglican Church in Mississauga. The congregation was only about 60 people. And we were able to build a building of $1.2 million. And we finished the fundraising in 51 weeks, less than 1 year. And we were just amazed. Where did the money come from? We are amazed that how can we do that if it is not God's work? And I tell you, building a church is so hard work that we need to stop all small groups because we have no time. Everyone is so busy preparing this and meeting that, meeting with architects or engineers. And yet, it was tired, and yet it was just so exciting. I couldn't sleep when we opened our first service. I find the more faith we have in God, the more God will provide for us. And right now I'm at St. Christopher's. We're also planning for church expansion. We are also waiting. Our drawings are ready and we're waiting. We're waiting for God's time and His will. Even donations are coming in already and we are still waiting. We need people to come back because they're so comfortable worshiping at home. And we prepare ourselves as disciples and we prepare our resources. When the time arrives, we will open our wings, soar on wings like eagles to bring the salvation of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and wearied. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your message to us. Let us wait on you so that we may prepare ourselves to shine for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.